Hi everyone, this is Personal Synthesis Podcast. Today with me is the creator of Personal Synthesis, Dr. Nash Popovich. Good afternoon, Nash, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bobby, and well, how are you?
Very well, thank you. It's a little bit colder outside.
You
I'm
feel
better.
better straight away.
Yes, straight away. Straight
And
away.
then in a few months you will complain that
Of course.
it's
Today's subject is very interesting one for me. It's called inner structure. Nesh, what do we mean by that?
Well,
Of
in
course.
the last few podcasts, we were discussing our beliefs, concepts, learning, thoughts, ideas, mental events, to put it differently. And we concluded that they play a very important role in the way we perceive reality. However, our beliefs do not exist independently. They tend to be kind of organized. We try to organize them in a meaningful and sensible way. So this net of mental concepts creates our belief system that we call in personal synthesis inner structure. We start building that inner structure practically from the birth and continue doing that throughout lives. You can imagine that as a kind of a castle, let's say, that you are within that castle and you communicate or relate to the external reality via the walls of that castle. And each brick in that castle walls one of your beliefs. Does that make sense at all? This is a metaphor, of course.
Yes, we start building that inner structure from birth
Yes, that's
inside
right.
ourselves.
So it's
Yeah.
like a building. You can imagine that that's a mental building that we create, like a house or any kind of building that you want to imagine. And we live, dwell within that building, and therefore we interact with the external reality, not directly, but mediated by that system of our beliefs and thoughts and ideas and so on. Some elements stem from adopting common knowledge, like part of your inner structure, part of your beliefs is
Yeah.
based on what you learn about science, maybe religion, some cultural beliefs that you adopted, and so on. But some are a result of unique personal experiences. So you may have some bad experiences. Let's say that few times some people tricked you or abused your trust, and you may conclude that people generally are not trustworthy. And that becomes your belief. Other people may have good experiences with many people who have been helpful and thoughtful and trustworthy, and they say, no, people in general are actually trustworthy. Those opposite beliefs stem from having different experiences. However, we need to be aware that although these mental structures correspond to reality to some extent, they should not be identified with it. They are not the same. We make mistake when we start thinking that our beliefs are reality. They are not reality. They overlap or correspond to reality to some extent, but they are not reality. We should not assume that our beliefs are the indispensable truth. If this happens, the mental structures are taken for granted and left unattended, with the consequences they cannot accommodate new experience and can even fall apart. And when your mental structure falls apart, or when some elements or some parts of that mental structure fall apart, it's really very unpleasant. You are exposed to uncertainties of external reality without anything that makes sense of your experiences, and that causes huge anxiety. Let me give you an example. I had a client who discovered that her husband was cheating on her for actually quite a long time. She never thought that something like that is possible. And what she said to me, my world fell apart. When I realized what happened, my world fell apart. Now, it's not really the world outside that fell apart. Her town or house or street was still there. But actually, that inner world, that mental structure in her mind that consisted of beliefs such as that her partner will never cheat on her, fall apart.
Yeah, and that is one of the hardest things you can experience in your life, that your inner world falls apart. Then you need to find the strength, you need to find a will to build again.
Definitely, and that's very difficult when you are in some challenging situation. So two things are really important: to have that mental structure well integrated, and also to have mental structure that is flexible enough to be able to accommodate for new, sometimes contradictory experience. So today we will be talking of what contributes to integrating well your mental structure so that you don't have holes in there or conflicting thoughts and beliefs. It's like if you have, I don't know, a conflicting part of the building, it's more likely that that building will fall down. So we want to see what actually contributes to well integrated mental structure and what we need to do to be able to keep developing mental structures because we are constantly exposed to different experiences and therefore we need to keep developing our mental structure all the time. Just one example of that is when you're, let's say, a kid, you make a certain set of beliefs, but when you grow up, those beliefs change. And then when you get old, those beliefs may change, will have to change again in order to adapt to somewhat new reality. We need to keep changing and adapting our mental structure all the time throughout our lives.
Yeah, I want to ask you now, what is the purpose of inner structure?
The main purpose of inner structure is to integrate and make a meaningful whole of various experiences and enable our mind to expand. We are trying all the time to make sense of our lives. That's not easy because sometimes you may have a contradictory experiences or may you need to negotiate and translate in your way your experience in some kind of set of thoughts and beliefs and so on that would help you to predict what will happen in the future, that would help you to distinguish what is important to focus on and what is not, and so on and so on. In some ways, the inner structure protects us from the chaos of the external reality.
And when you talk about integration, that integration needs to be good.
Yes, it's very important to have inner structure is well integrated, and there are some factors that contribute to that. I call them four C's because they all start with C letter. So one is congruence, your beliefs and ideas should not conflict with accepted facts or your experience. For example, belief in racial superiority lacks congruence as it conflicts with the known facts. Consistency. We are talking here about the internal consistency. Your beliefs also should not contradict each other. For example, rejecting notion of free will and yet accepting a legal system based on personal responsibility and choices may be inconsistent. Then the other one is completeness. Your belief system should accommodate all the facts. Sometimes you may ignore certain exceptions and so on, but that makes your inner structure weaker. Nothing should be left out. For example, claiming that only competition drives evolution may be incomplete. That's what I think kids still learn in school, but this is incomplete because cooperation plays a role, maybe even greater role in evolution than competition. And the last one is cohesiveness. All the elements in the structure should be connected. And those unnecessary elements can be excluded. In other words, you get rid of beliefs that are not necessary. For example, extraterrestrials are not necessary in order to explain crop circles. And we have an exercise called mind mapping that helps you see if the various elements of your inner structure feel fit well together and if they are in line with those four requirements. or well integrated inner structure. So tell me one thing, Bobby. What do you believe in? Share with us one of your beliefs that you want to test.
I tend to believe that all humans are born good.
Okay, so let's start with the first one, which is congruence. Is that congruent with your experience and with known facts, if you know what I mean?
Pretty much, yes, because I've never seen an evil kid.
You never seen
I'm
an evil kid.
capable of doing bad things on purpose.
Right, okay. In psychology, there are divided views on this topic. Some believe that we are born good, others believe that we are born bad, and only through socializing, through being induced in some sort of social structures, we become well adapted. And some believe that we are neither born good nor bad, that we are born with the potential to be either good and bad. Let me just challenge that view in a different way. If we are all born good, we learn to be bad through our life experiences. And young children are mostly exposed to their parents and carers. Therefore, they learn to be bad, if you like, because of certain behavior of their parents towards them or between them and so on. But how is that possible? Because their parents, in your view, were also born good, and also the parents of parents and so on until first human beings. So if everybody was born good from the beginning of humankind, then how did being bad came into the picture? What happened to children to later in experience they learn to be bad, if you like? From whom they learn to bad if everybody is born good?
My answer to that is from the society.
But society consists of people, and those people are also all born good.
Yeah, but they turn bad in one.
Why? How can they turn bad if everybody's born good?
For me, there is no such thing as all good or bad. This is now a little bit philosophical and spiritual. Mostly we are good and we have bad parts of ourselves. That is in our nature.
That seemed to me not completely consistent with what you said at the beginning, that we are all born good. Now you seem to be saying that we are all born with the potential to be good and bad.
We are all born mostly good. Human beings are too complicated to be seen as one or the other, all good or all bad. My mistake was when I said we are all born good, we are all born mostly good. But all of us
Okay.
have a bad side. You
I
know the
see. Okay. So now your belief is a bit more complex than before. And what you're saying now, we are all born mostly good, but we also have
Of course.
potential for that dark side too. Probably this was very useful discussion because you modified a little bit your original position on your original belief on the basis of examining congruence and consistency of that belief. An example of how useful this kind of examination can be and make our beliefs more integrated, not only with other beliefs, but with also with the reality outside.
Okay, that was about integration, but integration is not enough. We also sometimes need to develop our inner structure. It is difficult and often kind of dangerous to try to maintain this structure or your beliefs unchanged. Adapting your structure to reality rather than the other way around reduces conflicts and contributes to your personal development. There are two characteristics that can help us develop our inner structure. One is flexibility, and the other, open-mindedness. Flexibility is about being able to modify and adapt your ideas to incorporate new experiences or information instead of dismissing or misinterpreting them to fit the ideas that you already have. Let's take one example. Let's say you believe in homeopathy and come across some research concluding that homeopathy is ineffective. What would you do? Would you dismiss it? Now imagine that the article actually claims that homeopathy is effective. Would you be equally dismissive about that article? What I'm talking here about is what is called confirmation bias. We are more inclined to go on with something that confirms our existing beliefs rather than with something that opposes them. And that's, however, is not very often productive or constructive. Open-mindedness is willingness to consider alternative interpretations. Open-minded people are not without conviction. But sometimes people don't want to be open-minded because they say, oh, that means that I won't have any convictions. So this is not the case. Open-minded people are just not overly attached to every part of their belief system and are prepared to examine arguments that differ. That's wanted to say about developing the inner structure. There is an intervention that can help you examine your beliefs and tease out what is below the surface. That intervention is called laddering, and you can find it on our website.
Yeah, this was very helpful, Nash. I want to thank you. With this, we're going to end today's session. And I want to tell our listeners that they can read everything about inner structure at our website, personalsynthesis.com. And to remind them to ask questions, we are glad to answer on every question that they ask.
So please let us know if you have any comments or questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nash. Goodbye.
Bye.